Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
If you were asked to come up with a list of Southeast Asian dishes, what would you say? You perhaps mention pad thai from Thailand or nasi goreng from Indonesia or perhaps Singaporean chicken rice. But would Filipino food be on your list? How much do you know about it? Well, to fill in those holes, I am joined now in studio by Richie Castillo, co-owner of the Filipino pop-up Bahai, who is going to persuade us perhaps to all give it a go. What is unique, Richie, about Filipino food? My limited experience of it is that it's a little bit of Indonesian and a little bit of Chinese, perhaps.
Yeah, and I guess you'd be right in saying that. And for me, I think the difference in Filipino food is in the similarities, if that makes sense. And for me, you know, if you asked me this question a year ago, I'd probably give you a vague answer. And like, my understanding of it is I'm only really tapping into what it really is. And there's a famous food historian and food writer, Doreen Fernandez, who talks a lot about, she has a lot of early essays on the cuisine of the Philippines. So the Philippines is a colonized country, much like Ireland. And she would use the concept of like the Malay matrix to describe Filipino cuisine. So like it's a matrix of, like you said, like Malaysian food, Indian food, Chinese, Spanish. And you can really see all that influence in all the different food, because there's dishes like lumpia, which is Filipino spring rolls, which is a direct influence from Chinese traders and early settlers. And then you've got the Spanish influence in things like beef machado and stewed dishes with tomato, and then also like arroz caldo. And even their language is quite similar to Spanish. And having been there for Christmas just recently, my understanding of Filipino food, like my mind was blown, in the sense that what I thought was Filipino food was not very far removed, but there was so much more cultural nuance and regional nuance than I had ever thought. And I'm only really tapping into the surface. But it's just very underrepresented around the world. A lot of people don't have a reference to go off. And I think the most popular dishes people know is chicken adobo, which is, or pork adobo. It's soy sauce, vinegar, bay leaves, black pepper, and garlic. And it's like a braised dish. And then, but for me, the dish that kind of really highlights of Filipino food is would probably be sinigang, which is a soup, a sour soup made with like tamarind base, and there's also unripe green fruits depending on where you are in the Philippines, like guava and that kind of stuff. But it's unapologetically sour, and I think that's definitely a flavor profile that is very unique to the Philippines.
Is part of that flavor profile brought about because of the use of vinegar as a preservative?
Yeah, and it also, yeah, it has a purpose. Like the Philippines is so humid, so warm, and a lot of people who live in the provinces, they have electricity, but they don't have refrigeration. So it was a method of preservation. You're going to find a lot of dishes that have a lot of vinegar and a lot of sour elements because it acts as a method of preservation. And I think that's a really unique aspect of Filipino food. And what I've noticed, it's very sour. Well, not very, some dishes are very sour, but also You'll see different vinegars from when we were traveling around. Everyone kind of makes their own vinegar, and different types, different seasonings, and there's chilies and garlic from whatever, and they're very resourceful in the terms of vinegar they make.
Enough of the theory, let's get down into some actual practicals here. But just before we do, are there ingredients in Filipino food unique to the Philippines, or can you get pretty much everything in an Asian market?
There are. So one of the most particular ones you'll see is calamansi. So it's a native citrus to the Philippines. It's a cross between a kumquat and a mandarin. And it looks like a little lime, but the inside looks like an orange or a mandarin, excuse me.
And you can't substitute anything else for a calamansi?
You can substitute lemon. Like, look, you can't source fresh calamansi here, but you can source the 100% juice extract from a Filipino store, and it's just as good. But this, like, you'll see it everywhere. And like, that's one of the things that you can't really source here, but it's getting better. Like, most of the things you can source, but not in large, extremely large quantities.
Can we go back to adobo, please? Chicken adobo or pork adobo, whichever.
Yeah.
And just run through the ingredients and the preparation, because it sounds like a relatively straightforward one.
Yeah, and this is the thing. It's very straightforward. So in my house, my dad would have used a mixture of chicken thighs and pork belly, and involves a bit of marination. You would marinate the meat in soy sauce, sugarcane vinegar, garlic, black pepper, and bay leaves. Overnight is definitely the best method. And I'm pretty much, or you can do it in a few hours, then you pretty much sear off all the meat in with some water and the remaining marinade, and then cook it down to your liking. Like, it's, some people would like it more dry and they'd cook out all the liquid and evaporate it, and it kind of left with all the chicken fat and the pork fat. Or some people like it wetter. You just wouldn't reduce the sauce as much, yeah, and there's a bit of a sauce going on.
We'll have all of these recipes up on the website, rte.ie/todaycb. I want to go on to chicken barbecue skewers, but before we do that, we need to talk about banana ketchup. What is it?
So banana ketchup was basically, during World War II, the Americans brought over ketchup. And there was a woman whose name who I forgot, but basically there wasn't an abundance of tomatoes in the Philippines at the time. And so she developed ketchup, banana ketchup with bananas. Now, essentially, it doesn't taste exactly like bananas. It looks exactly like ketchup. It's a lot more sweeter and it's bright red in color. And basically, yeah, it's just ever since developed. It's a household product and you'll see it on most menus.
Like normal ketchup, it'll have a lot of sugar in there, presumably a bit of vinegar again, because it is the Philippines and bananas as a base. Yeah. So how then do we make the chicken barbecue skewers?
So essentially you would go with chicken thighs, and again, this can be done with pork, but essentially it's, you would take the banana ketchup and you would add loads of garlic, black pepper, vinegar, lemon juice, and 7-Up or any type of soda.
What does that give it?
So essentially it acts as a tenderizing agent, and it also adds sweetness. But with all the sugar and stuff, when you're kind of cooking it off, it adds an extra layer of caramelization because the sugars begin to caramelize. But essentially, again, you'd marinate the meat, and then you would just thread them onto skewers and barbecue them. And that's a popular thing you'd see everywhere in the streets of the Philippines.
Describe the taste.
So it's sweet, salty, umami, smoky from the barbecue, from cooking it. Like, you can cook in a pan, but like, it's definitely best cooked over a barbecue. So you're hitting all the flavor profiles.
Filipino pancit, please, which is...
Pancit.
It's a noodle dish, is it?
Yeah, it's a noodle dish. So noodles are brought over to the Philippines by early Chinese settlers. Particularly, these noodles were mostly flour and egg based, but essentially it's one of those... Again, there's a lot of regional nuance in terms of pancit dishes. But with this one, pancit canton is probably the most popular one, and it's very simple. Like, you know, whatever veg you've got knocking around, you can use, but mostly there's always kind of Chinese cabbage, carrots, onions, garlic. And it's quite a simple sauce. There's soy sauce and calamansi. I sometimes put oyster sauce in mine, chicken thighs, and it's very versatile. Mm. Kind of.
These recipes all strike me as being more useful to people with large families. It's not a cuisine that lends itself to being cooked for one person or for two, does it?
In my experience, no. And I mean, I find it hard to cook anything for one person with anything, but definitely Filipino food is such a central part of the Filipino culture, particularly sharing meals with families. And I always grew up eating meals family style. Like, I've never had an individual meal plated up in my house. Yeah. It was always a big spread. And breaking bread and eating a meal with a family it's such an important thing in the Philippines. And I think...
And it's reflected, obviously, in the cuisine.
It's reflected in the cuisine, for sure, yeah. Okay.
Richie Castillo, thank you very much for coming in and joining us this morning. I've got to take a break ahead of these headlines.
Thank you very much.
51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.